Martin Luther. Don't you love Martin Luther? Never met him. I know him. Do you know who and what all was against Martin Luther? I love that hymn. Don't you love that hymn? We're not the right man on our side. Oh, my. I look forward to talking to Martin Luther. Here's the amazing thing is he's looking forward to talking to me and you. He knows us. Luke 22. Go to Luke 22 now. And let's just read these verses. It's only 7 verses. Luke 22, verse 47. You have it? Luke 22:47. While the Lord spake to his disciples in the garden, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. And Jesus went out front and said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? And when they were with him, the rest of the disciples saw what would follow. They said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? One of them, Simon Peter, smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. Our Lord answered and said, suffer ye thus far. That's enough. And he touched his ear and healed him. And then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple, and the elders, which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief, with swords, with staves, when I was daily with you in the temple, he stretched forth no hands against me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness. That's a story here, the title, The Power of Darkness and the Power of God. This story, the gospel story, begins in darkness. Boy, it ends in light. This is not going to end right there with verse 53. We're going to go on to light. I hope that this story will make us both sorrowful. The disciples slept for sorrow, it says. But he said joy was going to come anymore. I hope it'll make us sorrowful and joyful. I hope it'll make us watchful. He started by saying, watch, pray, you enter not into temptation. And thankful, I hope. Sorrowful. This happened at nighttime. All of this took place at nighttime. Our Lord wrestled with the thought of being made sin in the darkness. In the darkness at night. The Son of God had come, light in a dark world. The light of the world had come. And here's condemnation. He said this. Here is condemnation. Light has come into the world. But men love darkness rather than light. They rejected Christ, the light. I did. And he said down in verse 53, the last thing he said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. It's fitting that in this hour we look at this. And I didn't plan all this. The Lord in providence, this comes up right now. Okay, nice sunny day. It's fitting that we look at this because things are not as they appear. This is a time of darkness. It really isn't. Do you remember the story in Exodus of the children of Israel right before they were to leave? It says there was darkness over the land, Exodus 3 or Exodus 10. There was darkness in all the land of Egypt, darkness so thick it could be felt. Can't you feel it in this? Can't you see it all around you? But the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. They had a cloudy pillar that obscured them and hid them from the Egyptians. And by day, And then by night, a pillar of fire. They had light in the darkness. That's Christ, isn't it? Darkness befell. Isaiah 8, we've turned there so many times, I'll not have you turn again, but it says the world is going to look to the world and it'll be darkness, dimness, anguish of spirit, darkness, confusion, trouble and sorrow, and there's a sense of helplessness everywhere in them. God won't remove this plague fully, keep men. Our Lord said there's not going to be peace for the wicked. Ever. He sent plague after plague after plague after one thing after another, didn't he? But the children of Israel, the children of Israel had peace. The power of darkness, power of darkness. You know, it's a power that grips this world and holds captive people in this world, though they know it not. Because it's an unseen power. And I don't want to dwell too long on the power of darkness. And we'll get to the light quick as we can. But the power of darkness is one of deceit and betrayal. Look at it, verse 47. This begins, while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas. You know what the name Judas means? It's Judah. It's the Hebrew word Judah. What's that mean? Praise. This man held a name that meant praise. Judah. Deceit. Betrayal. A multitude. Who was it that came out against him? Down in verse 52. The chief priests. Captains of the temple. Rulers of the temple. Elders, Bible scholars, scribes, people read the Bible. That's all they did. They quote the Bible. Religious, zealous, whole multitude, whole multitude of people came out against the Lord and against His anointed. They were out to get the disciples too. This is what we're going to see in this story, okay? We're not the right men on our side. Oh, deceit. Our Lord said this, many will come in my name. Many will prophesy my name. So many will say, Lord, Lord. Many. The Lord says many, that's a lot of people. And most. Many false prophets. He said, evil men, seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and what? Being deceived. So convinced what they're saying and believing is true that they're totally deceived. They think what we believe, the truth, is evil. They came out against the Lord and against His people. Saul of Tarsus was that one. He was zealous, exceedingly zealous of the law. But he was deceived. He was morally blameless. He looked like a morally blameless fellow, but he was evil. Evil. Satan, sin, the world is deceitful. Everything is not as it appears. We're going to see in this story that the real power that was at work in this time was an unseen power. Powers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. And the one doing the battle was not the disciples, but one man. Deceit. You know, Judas was his name. I was going to have you turn back there, but it means praise. The good name in it is a disciple in name only. Am I a Christian? Am I? Is Christ my life? Is He really? Lots of deceived people, aren't they? People deceive others. Judas betrayed Him. Judas sold Him. Judas was offered a better job and he took it. Judas preferred world and family and money and this and that and the other over Jesus Christ. And it'll be known in the end. Right? It's going to come out. And we're going to see in a minute that old Simon Peter, he denied him, but he didn't betray him. All right. Betrayal. As I said, and he came to our Lord, look at verse 47, with a kiss. And our Lord said, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? You know these verses. I'm not going to keep you long this morning. I'll do all the turning for you. But in Proverbs 27, it says this, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Oh, we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Who's that? The Lord Jesus Christ, who was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. You don't hear of him kissing his disciples very often, do you? In fact, I can't think of one time it says that he kissed them. Did he love them? Oh, my greater love. Did he love them? Oh, he loved his own. He loved them how long? To the end. To the end. But he said, but this proverb says the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Religion, that's one thing that you can see right through religion, that the phony, fake affection. I love you, brother. Yeah, right. Master. He came up to our Lord, Master, and kissed him on the cheek. Can you imagine? Fully intending to do away with him. One time he says he remember when he resented the woman with the alabaster box breaking that over Christ's head? He thought, what a waste. You're giving out all that money for the preaching of the gospel. What a waste. Let's give it to the poor. He didn't care for the poor. And he didn't care for Christ. He wanted everybody to know, I care about the poor. No, you don't. You want some credit. You'll get your picture in the paper with it. Sending a check to the local mission for $138.53 when you got $1 million in the bank. Right. That's religion. That's religion then. Yes, it's everywhere. We're doing what we're doing for Jesus. No, you're not. You're against his glory. In the name of God, you have name only. You have a name. Our Lord said, well, did Isaiah prophesy this people, they draw near with their lips when their heart is far from me. This world is a dark place, and the greatest darkness is religion. Our Lord said, if the darkness be in you, the light in you be darkness, oh, how great is that darkness? Refuge of lies. If Christ is not really your refuge, you're in dark, double darkness. Betrayal with a kiss. This is why our Lord said, you love one another. One of the last things he said, you love one another as I've loved you. How? To the end. Lay down your life for your brethren. By this shall all men know you're my disciples. You have love one for one another. What kind of love? Love that sticks. Right? As I said, Simon Peter's going to deny him, but he's not going to leave him. He's not. In denying our Lord, he denied his brethren. He's coming back, never to leave again. But not Judas. Truth's no. Christ is not his love. Christ is not his life. Money is. So the multitude came out against him. That's why we read Psalm 2. Don't you love that? Oh, why do people rage? Tumultuously assemble. Why all these meetings getting together? Why is everybody, you know, getting carried away and all that? What's it all about? It's not the glory of God. It's not. It's just a feel-good religion. Why the people, supposed to be God's people, imagine a vain thing, professing Christian. Vain thing, vain doctrine, vain belief. Why? Well, God's people know. He set Christ on his holy hill of Zion. and they've come to worship the Lord. And they that are with him are called, chosen, and thankful. Judas, betray me with a kiss. And as we've said before, even tears can be deceitful. Don't be deceived by them. You notice how this all started. Our Lord said, don't sleep. Pray. Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. He started out by saying, it's a dark, dark times. Don't sleep as do others. Rise and pray, lest you be caught up with the multitude. All right, look at verse 49. And then they that were with him, about him, his disciples saw what would follow. They said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with a sword? And one of them, this was Simon Peter. Look at John 18 here with it. This is, well, no, don't. We're going to turn to Matthew in a minute. But this was Simon Peter. Simon Peter's the one that drew that sword. Where is it? Matthew. Go to Matthew 26. Yeah, go there. Matthew 26. Simon. Simon's the one that did this. Matthew 26. But it was Simon Peter who drew this sword. Now, you're going to love this. You're going to like this. You're going to love and like it. Simon loved his Lord. He really did. He said, I'll lay down my life for you. He almost did. He did. The Lord allowed him to do that, take his sword out, didn't he? He meant it, Kelly. You can't have my Lord over my dead body. Didn't he? He took that sword out. He's going to fight the whole multitude. Bless God. There was a time when Simon Peter didn't know Jesus Christ, didn't care about Jesus Christ, didn't follow Jesus Christ. He was in that multitude. He would have been with that multitude. But God called him out of darkness into marvelous light and put him in this little remnant, took him out of the multitude that God's going to judge by Christ someday, and put him in Christ, be saved by Christ, be with Christ, be kept by Christ. And Simon Peter's with them. He's with them to the end. And he took his sword out. Too often we pass right over by this, don't we? The Lord made it clear in John 18, this was Simon Peter. He took that sword out. He meant it. Because God put a love for Christ in his heart, a defense for Christ's honor and glory, a love for him that was there, that God put there. Let me ask you something. And this was early on. Peter's only 30-some years old, maybe 40. Do you not believe or think that you were more zealous for the truth in the beginning? Is it not so? I remember I was standing working construction, and the Lord had just revealed himself to me, working on me. And I was working construction, and I was down in the basement of a building, digging out this basement for a construction company. Another man with me, and we started talking about the gospel. And buddy, we were coming to blows. I wanted to take that shovel and just hit him across the head. Honestly. Thankfully, the boss came down and said, hey, paying you to preach, paying you to dig. But I wanted to defend my Lord. I wouldn't defend me. And that's what old Simon did. But look at this. Look at this. So Simon drew his sword and cut off that man's ear. Look at verse Matthew 26, verse 50. Our Lord said unto him, friend, wherefore of Judas art thou come? Wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand, this is Simon, and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. The man's name was Malchus. In John 18. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into thy place. All that take the sword shall perish with the sword. See, right there, he's showing him and us, your defense is not a carnal weapon. He meant well, but Simon Peter, this is not the battle that's raging here, and it's not yours to fight. And I just let you in on a secret there. Put up your sword. This is not a battle that you can, the foe is unseen, and the battle's not yours. It's mine. My Lord. Read on. Thinkest thou not that I can now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? Don't you love that? He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free, but he died alone. That scripture might be fulfilled. Why? For you and me. He died in battle. He died in a warfare. And you know what, Brother John? He won. Ten thousand angels. Oh, what all is seen there. Don't you know? Put up your sword. You're not protecting yourself. You sure can't protect me. This is not your battle. It's mine. And don't you know? The enemy you see, that's not the enemy. It's an unseen enemy. It's power of darkness. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, Paul said, but spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers of the darkness of this world. We're no match for them. All right, go back to our text. But Peter drew this sword and cut off this man's ear. And look at this, verse 51. He cut off this man's ear named Malchus, and the Lord answered, "Suffer." That's enough. That's what he said. Suffer you thus far. That's enough. And he touched the man's ear and healed him. This is marvelous. And we've been talking about the fire of darkness. And people, it's very real. But it's an unseen power. It holds captive the people of this world. But only he that now letteth will let. He's still under the power of our Lord. He reigns and rules over all things. Okay? But the Lord leaves this world in darkness. But he has a people that dwell in light, kept by the power of God. And we're going to see the gospel is the power of God, the salvation. But the power of God, light and darkness. Here we see this man named Malchus was in that multitude with the rest of them. Okay? He had ears to hear. He could not hear. He was with that multitude. He came out against the Lord. Okay? And his name means king. That means he was of some kind of noble heritage or whatever. He's a noble man. He's in the right. He's with the multitude. So can all these people be wrong? Yes, always. Was he noble? He was a nobody from nowhere. A nothing. Malchus. Just a sinner. It's going to take the same power to save him as it did Simon Peter. But he's with the multitude. He's a servant, it says in John 18, a servant of the high priest. He's serving the wrong priest. Right there stands the high priest who he's come out against. The high priest, serving the wrong person. He's with the multitude. He's running with the wrong crowd. And such were some of you. Such were some of you. You were in religion. You're serving the wrong God. Praying to a God that couldn't save. Some were in Catholicism, literally praying to and confessing to a priest. Imagine that. It's hard to imagine right now, wouldn't it? That you could sit in a little booth and pray to a man to forgive your sin. People do it all the time. What's it going to take to bring him out? Well, the Lord, this man had ears. So what's the Lord do? He lets Peter take a sword and cut his ear off. Are you with me? This is a marvelous picture of salvation. He said in Isaiah 6, he said to Isaiah, she said, you go and you shut these people's ears. Make their ears heavy and their eyes blind. Fatten their hearts that they can't see. They have ears to hear, eyes they can't see, and a heart to make them blind. He said, how long, Lord? He said, until there's a remnant coming on them. Then they're going to hear. I'm going to give you ears to hear, eyes to see, a new heart. I'm going to do this work. Well, here Peter took the sword and cut his ear off. And it's going to take another sword, put his ear back. And that our Lord reached down and picked up that man's ear. What's that man's hope of ever hearing again? It's in the Lord's hands. He put his ear on him. Do you think that had an effect on this fella? I think so. You know, everything that happened, not written. Kelly Shirley, this man went. Surely. I remember the Lord took the sword of his spirit and began to work on me. Oh, he's talking to me. Remember? The Lord allowed Simon Peter to strike this blow and show. Now, Simon was aiming at his head, wasn't he? He's aiming at his head. He didn't kill him. He could have killed him. The Lord could have allowed Simon Peter to kill him right then. But no, the Lord healed him. Showed him so many things here. The hearing ears of the Lord. Life is in his hands. Can you look back on your life and see how often the Lord has spared you by his mercy and grace? Do you know how many? You talk about darkness. You know what's all around us? And you're not aware of it? You know, this world is playing with darkness. Young people dress in blackness and they love, people love skull and crossbones and death and dying and the dead and all that, and they're playing with something evil. But it's only the grace and the mercy of God, his tender mercies over all here, that keeps this stuff back. It's not a thing to be played with. I'm not preaching against Halloween here, but I'm just saying. People just don't know. We just don't know what the Lord keeps from us. You know, the Lord preserved this man's life. Peter was going to take his head off. Oh, how he's preserved my life so many times. And he gave him an ear to hear. Could be. Could be. And I don't know what happened to him, but I know this. His life and his ears were in the Lord's hands, like ours and like our loved one. And he said, separate so to be... To be so, okay. That's enough then. All right, now look at this. It says in verse 52, it said to the chief priests and captains of the temple and the elders which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. I was daily with you in the temple. Ye stretched forth no hands against me. No, they couldn't. They tried, didn't they? They tried to kill him many times. They'd take him often. They'd grab hold of him. All of them would lay hold of him. Wouldn't it? Not for salvation. All that lay hold of him for salvation are saved. But those that try to put him away, this is the Lord for glory. You're not going to stop his work. This is God. You're not going to let him do anything. You're not going to make him Lord. You're not going to make him king. You're not going to even kill him. It's God that's done all this. And our Lord showed that his life was invincible and ours too. And don't you love the next part of this? And the Lord went out and informed him, you seek me? You have to let them go. They were coming out after all of them. But no, one man. The battle was his. As Christ is showing that you can have no power over me except it were given you from above. And there's no power but of God in this world. The powers that be are of the Lord, good and evil. And Christ is the power of God and the salvation of God. And here's what I want to see in closing. Okay? We live in a world of darkness. He says, watch and pray, lest you enter into the temptation, lest you be caught up in the crowd, lest you just be caught up with them and you betray the Lord like Judas. Ask, keep asking, Lord, is it I? Is it I? Is it I? Keep asking. Keep praying. Let us not sleep as do others. And if it wasn't for the sovereign love and mercy and grace and power of our God to keep us, we wouldn't be kept. Why didn't the chief priests and the elders and all of them grab hold of Simon Peter? They saw this. Later on, witnesses came. You're one of them. Three witnesses. You're one of them. We know you are. What kept him, Brother Ed? The one standing there with him. There's another power coming, and the powers were after Peter also, but Christ said, you can't have him. You can't have any of them. You're going to take me. You're going to deal with me. The surety, like John prayed, full responsibility. You're going to this is the captain of our salvation. Now, we're not fighting this thing together. No. Christ is going to by himself defeat the powers of darkness. Yes, he is. Christ is the power of God. Oh, isn't that wonderful? In the wisdom of God, that Christ has made the power of God. And it's the sovereign love and mercy and grace of our God that saves us. And that mercy and love and grace is in Jesus Christ, who came. The gospel is the gospel of Christ, who come to call us out of darkness in his marvelous light. The enemy is deceitful. Satan, sin, and the world, and self is deceitful. Powerful foe, and we're no match. No match whatsoever. We can't come. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. What is our weapon? Christ. Arm yourselves. Salvation's of the Lord. And our warfare is spiritual. It's not carnal. It's the battle is not ours. It's the Lord's. This is what I want to leave you with. Salvation's of the Lord. His kingdom is not of this world. If it were, we'd have to fight. There's not going to be a battle over there in the Middle East called Armageddon where everybody gets together and fights against each other for Jesus. No. Jesus Christ fought the battle on Calvary's tree and won. That's what the scripture said. Long before that, he said, "The war, comfort my people. Tell them the warfare is over." There's some skirmishes and all, but you're not fighting for your soul. Jesus Christ did that. And he won. He won. Sacrifice of himself, laying down his life, made sin for us. By his blood, he redeemed his people. Faced Satan and all temptations, like as we are. Second Adam from above, covenant head. And Christ said, convince me of sin. One sin. I can't. Okay? I'm doing this for my people. I'm standing before the law. No charges. Holy, unblameable. He's doing this for his people. Before the power of darkness. You want them, don't you? Yeah, you can have them. Take me. I'll be made sin. And brothers and sisters, we're kept by the power of God. Simon Peter wrote that, didn't he? Right off the bat, 1 Peter 1. You're kept by the power of God. The Lord's going to allow him. The Lord allowed him to show he really did love the Lord and he really did zealous for his truth. Christ was his life. Jeanette, he said that. You're my life. These are words of life. To whom shall we go? You're my life. The Lord knew that and Peter knew it. He meant it, didn't he? You can't have my Lord. You can't take anything. Judas said, take him. 30 pieces all of that. Save us nothing. I'm selling for nobody. Nothing. Isn't that wonderful? That's true faith. Like Hebrews 11. All these stopped the mouths of lions. You know what? They stopped Daniel. Throw me in the lion's den. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Put me in the furnace. They believed God, didn't they? They loved Christ. How'd they make it through the furnace? Somebody in there with them. Who really stopped the mouth of those lions? Who was it? The lion of the tribe of Judah. Now here's the thing. By faith, through Christ, who strengthened us, we stopped the mouths of lions. But without Christ, we're weak as a kitten. Simon Peter's going to show his true love, what God has really done for him. In one act of faith and strength, isn't it? To the honor and praise of his Lord. But shortly thereafter, he's got to see, without Christ, you're nothing. Nothing. He won't stand for a minute. You see, the battle's not ours. Salvation's not ours. We're not going to keep ourselves. We can't. And we pray, lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Thine is the power, the kingdom, the power, and the glory. If we're kept, Simon Peter is right now standing in glory saying, oh my, I've been kept. Kept by my great Lord. All right, let's sing in closing, number 51.